brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
For them to have the opportunity to play in that facility where the greatest, you know, football in the world is played, it is such an extraordinary experience for them. I know I would have loved it.
Welcome to another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast here at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Thanks for accessing us however you're doing, so large device or small. John here, Hannah there, and we got a couple of different things to get into. It's an All-Stars Plus episode this time.
Merry Championship-mas.
Yes.
Championship-mas,
yes.
We are down to 8 games, 16 teams. There are 3 newcomers, 3 defending champs. We have a lot of storylines to cover today, John.
But we start with an expert witness, because something happened on Saturday.
Just a little something.
In the college game with a quarterback that we followed for a while. So what we decided to do was dial up his old head coach.
Well, Georgia winning again. Yeah. SEC championship
I've heard
over Texas.
Yes, this is true.
2017 was the final score?
Sounds good.
Something like that.
In 23.
Our first guess will know.
Yeah. So Michael Davis, the head coach at Rabun County, joining us to talk about the quarterback, Gunnar Stockton, who did yeoman's work. Heavy D, thanks for dropping by and batting leadoff.
Oh, man. Thank y'all for having me. I nothing better I'd rather talk about than Gunnar Stockton. I can promise you that.
22-19 was the final 19. Score.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
When you have toddlers, you don't get to focus on the game like I used to. So there's the score. Coach, what was going through your mind when you knew Carson Beck went out in the final play of the first half? They were bringing in Gunnar. What was going through your mind?
Well, you know, Gunnar and I still have a really good relationship. We talk a lot. I talk to his dad a lot. So I know that, you know, he has been preparing for this moment. Like, he spent a lot of time just being ready, because, you know, like he's always been told, any player, you know, you're one play away. And, you know, some players take that and don't do anything with it, but I can promise you Gunnar has been preparing all season for that moment. And so when he got the opportunity, I was just so excited for him. You know, I really personally, and I hate being a coach, it's a quarterback coach, but I felt like during the year when Georgia kind of got in that little rut and it wasn't playing great, that we might see Gunnar in a series or two. But, you know, Coach Smart's a lot smarter than I am, and they didn't do that. And, you know, so I was just – I hated that Beck got hurt for Gunnar to get the opportunity. But, you know, he got the opportunity, made the most out of it.
How would you best break down the kind of young man that Gunnar Stockton is, not just on the field but off?
Well, you know, I tell everybody, and I've always said this ever since I've known him, and I tell when I talk about Gunnar, I started off by saying he's a better human being. He's a better kid than he is a football player. He's humble. He's just so hardworking. He's quiet, but he's a great leader. I mean, he's that quiet leader that leads by example. He leads by just his work ethic. You know, I don't know how many people saw the interview after the game, and, you know, and he, not one time did you hear I or me. It was all about, you know, I did this for our seniors, I did this for our team, and that's not an act. That's Gunnar Stockton, and you know, that's what he's always about. And, you know, he's one of the best kids I've ever coached.
12 for 16 passing, 71 yards, being thrown into what has to be one of the biggest games.
And
of
taking
the
one of the nastiest
year.
Hits you've yes. seen in a while.
Helmet flying off. Kirby Smart said there's no concussion, so that is great news.
Absolutely.
Knowing Gunnar, even if there was a concussion, he put that helmet back on and he said, I'm not going in protocol. I'm good. So, you know.
Cannot condone that decision.
But and the other reason that we brought you on was because of your schedule. And right now in Class A D1, you came into the playoffs as Team 21, lost to Fitzgerald in the opening round, but half of your schedule going in. So 6 of the 11 games that you played were up against playoff teams. How tough is Class A D1 for someone that doesn't know? How would you break down what Class A D1 is?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I feel like from top to bottom, I mean, it's one of the strongest regions, because there were so many schools that were really, really good teams in AA. And when this new, you know, state alignment, you know, all the regions, everything got pushed. There was a lot of teams that got pushed down. So, you know, it wasn't, I mean, you know, single A is not watered down anymore. I mean, there's really, really good football. You know, and like I said, we were, you know, we went 6-5 this year, which was a letdown, you know, for here in Raven. But the teams that we lost to, like you said, you know, we lost to three teams by 6 points or less. And then we lost another one. We didn't have our starting quarterback or starting center. You know, when you're playing these kind of teams, there's not an off night on Friday night, I can promise you.
As always, great to catch up with you, Heavy D. We know that everybody up there in Raven County is keeping an eye on what's going on at the University of Georgia, and we're keeping an eye on you up there in Tiger. Thanks for dropping by and batting leadoff this week.
Hey, thank y'all so much for having me.
Now it's time to get to our GPB Sports All-Stars. And we start, as always, with the GHSF Daily founder and editor, Todd Holcomb. Todd, how are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, looking forward to these championship games. One of the best weeks of the year.
What are you doing on your week off, even though it's not a week
great
off?
Great question.
Week off.
Let's I was going to say, even though it's not a week off, what are you doing on your week off?
Week off. I'm a bike rider. I like to get out on the bike, and I like to tell my wife that we can actually do something. We can, like, go to the beach or something, but that's about 1 week a year, it seems like.
Correct.
Yeah, I was about to say beach. Man, I got a lot of prep work to do.
Yes.
Well, let's get to it. 8 games, 16 teams when it comes to the boys. Second year back in the bins. Todd, what are your top storylines that you're following heading to the championships?
Well, let's see. My favorite storyline, and that's just why it's great to be the leadoff batter on the All-Stars, mm-hmm. because I get to take the best little nugget and go run with it. But I think it's Northeast Macon in there, you know? We haven't had a Macon school since the 70s.
Oh, wow.
And you got an alumnus, Jeremy Wiggins, who's the head coach of Northeast Macon, and they're playing for the title, and they can win it. They're not a Cinderella. You know, they were in the top 10 in preseason. They've got this great running back, Nick Woodford, who's running for like 500 yards a game, actually more like 350 a game the last two rounds. And so that's one pretty good storyline.
And then you've got all the star power in the higher classifications, folks like, you know, Juju Lewis and the running from pillar to post and all the pressure that's attached to that. It's going to be a tough test for, you know, Grayson on the other side of the bracket. So you've got a lot of the blue bloods that are in there as well.
Yeah, there aren't that many surprises. I think all the games I wouldn't say went exactly to script last week, but there weren't any big upsets I didn't see. And all the teams in all of the 16 are in our top 10. In fact, I think all of them are in the top 5, except for maybe Calhoun at number 7. So, yeah, and they're blue blood and they're back, you know. So, yeah, a lot of the blue bloods, you're right. And Marist, you know, as well, and Milton, they've become a blue blood, I guess. Carrollton, you can't get much bluer than that. But there are also some first-time teams in there. You know, North Oconee been knocking on the door, and they're finally in. Toombs County, they're in there for the first time in history, although they were our preseason number 1, so it's not a shock, but still a cool story that school and community will be coming to the bins. And then Hebron Christian, they're in there for the first time, and again, not a shock. We have them highly ranked because they, you know, I think the writing was on the wall when they hired Jonathan Guest that they might have a chance to be pretty good down the road because he's won a few state titles with Elkin.
So 3 first-timers and 3 defending champions, Bowden, PAC, and Milton. You're a numbers guy. John, not so much.
No,
Todd,
no.
Are any of these teams going for history-making wins or history-making games? Are there any fun numbers around the championships this year?
The numerology with Todd Holcomb.
Gosh, I should have started known that question.
Well, I mean, Bowden has the chance to go back-to-back-to-back.
Yeah, 3.
That's right.
PAC going
so
for 3.
70. So those two teams can win 3 in a row, and I think that's only happened about 15 times in history, so that's difficult to do. And Prince Avenue is in for the 5th straight year in the finals, and I think that's only happened about 6 times, you know, before. You know, Warner Robins did it a few years ago, you might remember, and Buford's done it a couple of times. At least once. So those are a couple. And then we got some coaches. You know, our trivia question today was, what coaches have won state titles with previous schools and then can win it with a second school this year? Ooh. And one would be Jonathan Guess, who won with Jesus Lane and Christian. Now he can win with Hebron. And you've got
Franklin Stevens of Burke.
Stevens.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, one with, I'm letting you answer. He won with
Tucker. Tucker, yes, the DeKalb County.
Now he had almost won with Lamar County, and now he can win at his alma mater, which is Burke County. And then the third one.
It's Travis, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, no. Travis Noel, he was there with Oconee County.
Okay.
But he didn't win with Oconee County.
Oh, Joey.
Yeah, Joey King. Yeah, for sure. So he won, of course, with Cartersville, and now he can win with Carrollton. So,
awesome.
Yeah, not a lot of coaches. And then it's probably 15, 16 that have won at two different schools, and so they can join that famed list.
See? You didn't need the question beforehand, Todd.
Come on.
Lots
now.
Of fun
I know,
numbers.
But I had to think a whole minute there.
We'll just speed it up. Don't worry. We'll just
it's all good.
Zoop, zoop, zoop.
It's all good. Well, as always, my friend, it's going to be great to see you down at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Thanks for dropping by and being part of the All-Stars. Get in your bike ride. We'll see you before you know it.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Now we go to West Georgia. WRBL News 3 in Columbus. Sports director. I love saying that. Sports director.
Sports director.
Jack Patterson. Hey, Jack. How are you?
Hey, what's up and what's good, y'all?
I got two words for you. Carver. Columbus.
See, I thought she was going an entirely different direction.
What did you think
I did too,
Nelly.
I did too. The wrestling fans that are watching this know exactly where we thought she was going.
Uh-huh.
Over my head.
Degeneration X. That was the Degeneration X, Triple H and Shawn Michaels. And if you don't like it, we got two words for you.
And I'm not saying that.
No. That's a promo that you've got to watch on a different broadcast. So
watch that on YouTube.
Yes, but yes, the two words that Hannah had for you, Carver - Columbus.
Yes, those are my two words. Mm-hmm.
So when?
How about those Carver Tigers, huh?
Uh huh. As someone who grew up having to watch them do their thing with Del McGee as a head coach, now it's Pierre Coffey and Carver Columbus. When we mention Carver Columbus, what sticks in your mind?
You know, normally when you talk about the Carver Tigers, you're normally talking about the prolific offense, okay? You're talking about, you know, when you talk about the lineage of that team, you talk about all the phenomenal talent, the Isaiah Crowells that have come through there, the DJ Ross, the Jaden Cradles, you know, the Jarmon Forsons, if you want to go back in the day, you know, the Deron Furs on the state championship team back in 2007. But, you know, when you talk about it right now, I think the thing that stands out to me the most is not, and not, this is not saying that the offense is not good, because the offense is great, okay? But it's the defense that is on another level, and I think you saw it on full display against Appling County last week.
49-6, going back in the grid, 44-7 against Pierce, which
Unreal.
Was a bit of a stunner, 35-14 on Ringgold, 54-7 on Terrell. So I see what you're saying about the defense. For somebody who's having the chance to drift in and watch them for the first time, who is in the Jack Patterson spot shadow when it comes to like the TV open? Who would be in the spot shadow for you defensively?
I look at a guy, he made a big play early on in the Appling County game, Zay Billingsley. He one of the DBs. He caused a fumble that was picked up and scored a touchdown by Antavius Watts that made it 14-0 within the first 3 minutes of the game. And then after that, it was on from there. So, you know, Zay Billingsley has been a name we've been calling all season long for that Tiger defense. And honestly, he's kind of like that defensive leader. You know, you have the offensive leader, you know, besides the quarterback. He's the defensive leader for that Carver defense.
Well, on the flip side, they're also putting up a ton of numbers on offense. Who are some of the offensive stars for those who don't know Carver Columbus as well as you do?
And that's the thing is that, you know, that's what Carver's always been known for is their offense. Mm-hmm. You know, Matthew Mungin has improved greatly at quarterback this year. You know, normally, you know, Carver has a run-first squad, and they've got a pair of good running backs. They got Kelston Tarver, we call him popcorn down here. So, you know, if you've ever watched the highlight that we done, we always say, get your popcorn ready. You know, or last week I did popcorn over the top when he scored from 1 yard out. But you got him. You got Kobe Castlin, who's kind of the all-everything running back. He's dangerous, you know, running the ball, but he's also dangerous as a receiver, too. And then Braylon Jakes is I think, one of the most underrated wide receivers in the state of Georgia, if you ask me. He has been phenomenal, making, you know, insane catch after insane catch. He's a big play threat anytime he touches the ball. So, like I said, Carver's got a lot of good talent on both sides of the ball, and I think that's what makes this team dangerous is, you know, more so than I've seen in previous years, they're just really balanced this year.
So it makes it sound like we're going to the movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
We're going right up to the concession stand. We got popcorn. We got the seasonings to go with the popcorn. We got the different kind of candy bars and the sweets. So you're saying this is like going to the movie theater and kicking back and watching a...
Sour Patch Kids all day. Skittles all day.
So then who would be the Sour Patch Kids and the Sour Skittles if you got popcorn at running back? Who's Sour Skittles? Is that the offensive line or the defensive line?
I'm going to say the Sour Skittles is going to be the offensive line,
okay,
because they're the guys who are doing the blocking to let the guys be sweet and make the big plays.
Ooh, see?
Okay.
We're going to have to carry this. Carry this analogy.
And then the Sour Patch Kids are the defensive line who are running you all over the place.
See what you started with Jack here?
I love it. I'm taking notes.
All right. Burke County comes in. Franklin Stevens with the pedigree. It's assistant at Camden, head coach at Tucker, head coach at Lamar, now head coach at Burke. Has there been any early intel, any early conversations? What's the vibe like around the Carver Columbus campus getting ready for the last game of the year?
There's excitement. You know, you got to understand that, you know, Carver hasn't been here since 2021. You know, for those of you who think back to that game, that was the game where they lost to Holden Garner and that Benedictine team at Georgia State Stadium. And it was a really good game, you know, but, you know, that was the last time that Carver has made it this far. And you got to remember, and I had to think about this myself earlier this week, the city of Columbus, public school-wise, has not seen a football state championship since Del McGee took Carver to the state championship when they beat Cairo in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And you're talking about a city with a rich football history with everything that Carver's done, everything that Shaw's done. If you want to go further back, everything that Columbus has done, everything that Spencer has done. You know, so, you know, it's kind of, you know, weird to say that it's been a, you know, going on 20-year drought that there hasn't been a state championship in the city of Columbus. So, you know, the city is, you know, there's excitement throughout the city as, you know, they're really, you know, rallying around the Tigers as they're trying to, you know, stop the drought.
And all that Shaw has done, because I remember when Shaw was playing for a state championship and it was a severe thunderstorm warning when it was being broadcast on Georgia Public Broadcasting. All those running backs that Shaw had back in the day. Notice how the alum avoided talking about his own school.
I gotta be unbiased, humble. Nelly. I gotta be unbiased. And besides, that was, you know, before, you know, the heyday, you know, of the Charles Flowers era was before my time. I got there right at the tail end. You know, my freshman year was that 06 team that were Road Warriors and went to the state championship, beat Carver in the semifinals, and then went to the state championship and lost to Peach County in the finals.
Well, as always, my friend, great to hear from you in the Western Frontier. Looking forward to seeing you when Carver Columbus takes on Burke County, the AA state championship game on the 17th at 4 o'clock. As always, thanks for being an all-star. We'll see you soon.
Appreciate you guys. Take it easy.
Time to head to Middle Georgia and catch up with a man whose business card is changing. It's going to be an interesting time. It was the last FFN for Marvin James at 13 WMAZ, but of course, we cannot let him go without being an all-star and keeping his all-star status, because Marvin, Lego.
Okay, I like it. Lego.
Yeah,
it keeps getting better and better.
You really are getting so good at it.
She's staring.
I didn't know if we were still going to do it or not.
Of course we are.
You know.
Of course we are.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
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 Hey, Marvin. How are you?
Transition.
let's get John back on track.
No.
Your new title is the Director of Media Relations for the GHSA. So tell us all about prepping for the championships. What have those conversations been like?
Oh, yeah. It's been a very busy week so far. You know, we're just getting everything together as far as not only credentials and making sure that we have the right personnel on the sidelines covering these great 3 days worth of events to culminate the high school football program. We have the housekeeping inside where we're making sure that we have all our banners and making sure we have the GoFan and all this stuff for ticket sales and the NFHS and GPB There's a whole lot going on behind the scenes that I never got a chance to see. But I'm excited about being a part of it this year on the side of GHSA.
And we're definitely looking forward to having you with your new job title and all of the stuff that that entails. But we have to have you in your all-star status here discuss Northeast Macon, Class A Division I, making it to the championship game. And I will swear, hand in the air, as high as it can go, that we have covered Nick Woodford ever since like 1987. He's been a part of Northeast Macon for that long. He's been a part of that fabric, and now they are finally with him in his senior year in the last game of the year.
And so how appropriately fitting. I mean, I will say the world because we'll be all over internationally. But yes, definitely the state gets a chance to see how good this kid is. They won't get a chance to see just what a great young man he is, but definitely a great football player. Just built just like a football player, coming off of an injury where he tore his ACL last year, and now he's back stronger than ever and just putting the whole east side of Macon on his back. And he's such a delight to be around. And just I'm excited for him to be able to showcase his skill set and talent all over Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
What are you most looking forward to being on that side of things, I guess? What's the most exciting part of all of this for you now?
Well, I think one of the best things is I get a chance to see all 3 days' worth of games. I think when I was covering as the media, I only came to a couple of them here and there. Although I watched you guys all the time, I think the best part is just being a part of that energy and seeing the different communities come in and come out, and some stay over. But getting the chance to see them play and cheer on their teams on that big stage. And it's just some of the kids, they get a chance to light up and actually perform in the stadium. You know, I've been there where it's been over at Georgia State, and you know, I've been over where it's been home and away. But this is a big deal for them, and I think this is why it's just one of the best weeks of the year. To have a chance to end the season on such a good note with some of the top teams in the country and in the state, of course.
And obviously with Jeremy Wiggins and what they're doing this season, it's the deepest they've ever been, like ever, as a school.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's right.
You're going up against a Toombs County team that had to play Dublin, 1-2 right. In the rankings, and not the power rankings, but the rankings in the polls. And then they go to the Shamrock Bowl and put up a big number on Roger Holmes in the Delaware Wing Tee. What kind of a game are you anticipating with Northeast and the opposition here at Toombs County?
Well, ground and pound. It's going to be a lot of running, a lot of physicality on both sides of the ball for both Toombs and for Northeast. Like you said, Nick is going to get a ton of carries, but you know he's not the. It's not just a one man show. Bam, who is playing at quarterback. Is doing a great job for Northeast, and he's going to be able to he's going to be able to showcase his talents as well. It's just going to be a very physical game. You know, I mean, a lot of times you see so much finesse and the long pass, and it's going to look real pretty. But this is one of those games where it's going to be smash-mouth football, and that's what's going to be exciting, and that's what Northeast is going to have to do. No turnovers, obviously, when you get into a game like this. You're going to have to win the special teams game, but you're definitely going to have to run the ball between the tackles, and I'm excited to see that come from Nick because I think it's going to be a kind of a showing out or a coming out party for him.
So cool. Two first-timers going at it. Can't wait for that one.
Nick and Bam. See, that's going to be a fun one. As always, my friend, great to catch up with you, and we look forward to seeing you at Mercedes-Benz Stadium for an entire three full days. And then you might get some days off, maybe just in time to remember to buy Christmas presents to the boss and everything. So
that'll be great. I'm laughing because I said the 3 days in a row. You guys are probably like, oh yeah, 3 days. When do you get a load of that?
Welcome to the party. Yeah. Welcome to the party, pal.
Yeah, we've been doing this a little bit.
Chick-fil-A on me. I got you guys.
All right. Well, love you, my friend. We'll see you soon.
All right, buddy. Take care.
All right.
Host of Extra Point for ITG Next, Phil Jones. Phil, hey, thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
As Beauty, as Beauty and the Beast, dial it up for you. All right.
Absolutely.
So Hannah's got the first question. Let's. I want to hear what she has to go here. All right, what's on?
We'll
your
go
mind?
To 6A. Buford lost to Carrollton. Sorry, Phil. What are your thoughts about the largest classification and the matchup that we've got going?
Well, I tell you, I don't think anybody saw that coming. You know, it was questionable whether or not Juju Lewis was going to be playing or not. Obviously, he did, and he showed up. But, you know, guys, you got to wonder. I know Brian Appling, of course, is probably going to do some soul-searching with his team and I'm sure his staff in trying to figure out, you know, what has gone wrong, not only this year, but the last couple of years. You know, they've had the team, I think, once again fall short. But anyway, kudos to Joy King and Carrollton. They get it done and going to see if they can finally bring it home. And, of course, they've got a tough competitor in Grayson. Impressive mm-hmm. win over Douglas County. And I tell you, this is if there ever was a toss-up game, I think this is it, guys. But yeah, I'm going to go with Julian Juju Lewis, though, in this one. It's his time. I think his greatness is going to come forward, but it should be a great football game, goes without saying.
Other team in your footprint specifically is one county over, and Brooks County with Josh McFather taking over for Maurice Freeman, who went over the state line, now coaching the state of Alabama. Brooks County makes it to the last game of the year. They had to do it on the road in Class A Division II, winning in overtime in Manchester. So Brooks County makes it to the last game of the year, and they're taking on the defending state champs mm-hmm. in Bowdoin this time around.
A tough one.
I'll tell you guys, before the season, of course, you know, we do our weekly poll, top 10 poll, and I had did preseason predictions. I predicted Brooks County to win the state championship. Wow. There were some moments there in the season, wasn't quite sure if they were going to get it done or not, but boy, they have really caught their second win, and huge win over the team that I had as the number one team in Class A Division II, and that was Manchester. So, big win. Can they do it again? I think it's a year of destiny for this Brooks County team. Great players, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Let's see if they can muster enough offense against Bowdoin. Of course, Rick Finley going to be going for, what is this, four in a row?
Three in a row.
Yeah, three in a row. The defending state champs with Bowdoin. So, you have a team in Bowdoin who scored 42, 31, 42, and 49 going up against the defense in Brooks County that has only allowed 14, 7, 10, and 7 in the postseason. So this is like that experiment in science class where you had matter and antimatter and they collide and it makes this big explosion. Try to figure out which side is going to be the one here. Is it the big offense or the big defense?
Well, you know, let's take a look. Really, I think we can answer that by this game against Manchester. Overtime, you've got Manchester's explosive offense. What, fourth and one,
mm-hmm.
And you know, Brooks County stops them. The defense stuffs them, and that was the difference in the game.
Yeah.
So I've always been told, you know, it's great defenses that win championships, and I think that's going to be the case here again.
Well, my friend, it's always great to catch up with you and break down what's going on in your footprint. You guys do fantastic coverage down there in South Georgia at ITG Next. Extra Point with Phil Jones, ITG Next. Thanks, my friend, for dropping by. We will catch up with you soon, and we'll probably see you at MBS, eh?
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me.
And finally, last but not least, it is the voice of GBB Football Fridays in Georgia, Matt Stewart, who is calling 5 games in how many days? 8 days from now. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm working on getting ready for those games. But fortunately, a number of those teams I've already seen. So yeah. it'll be fun, though, as always.
Yeah, having some repeats on GBB Sports. Well, what's your week like? What's prep like for this big showdown?
Well, just a lot of it, just a lot of getting ready, especially, you know, that, like I said, we've done games with Langston Hughes and in Milton, Langston Hughes just a couple of weeks ago, Carrollton obviously just last week, and this will be the fourth time Carrollton's been on our air, so I'm very familiar with them. Grayson, we never got a chance to actually get on our air because of the hurricane and mm-hmm. the chemical fire, but that was weird, but we did prepare for them, so that's good, and Marist we saw, so... The other schools will be the ones that will be a little bit they're not a challenge. We'll be ready for them, but right now it's a challenge because I got to get ready for them.
2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 for Matt. So Matt's got Burke County and Carver Columbus, and so Burke County is a familiar face with Franklin Stevens from his time at Lamar and Tucker and assistant at Camden County. Jefferson and Calhoun.
McEachern, don't forget McEachern,
and
McEachern, too.
So. Absolutely. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Jefferson and Calhoun in AAA, Marist, North Oconee in Quad, Hughes and Milton in 5, and then the granddaddy of them all, Grayson and Carrollton in 6. Outside of Juju Lewis, who else are you excited about watching this entire weekend?
Well, we have so many outstanding players going to be in the tournament, the classic, whatever you want to call it, the 8 championship games. Juju, obviously, but Luke Nickell, who's had a great season, and C.J. Wiley, who, I always hesitate to call him the best. So what I'll say is the best I've seen, because I haven't seen them all, but he's the best I've seen at the wide receiver position. And of course, Milton just lambasted what was supposed to be a great Lee County team. So excited to see those guys again, because it's been about 3 months or 4 months. I lose track. It's been 4 months.
We start the season with them. We end the season with them. Yeah.
August 16th, we had them against Buford, and we did not have them on GPB again the rest of the season. So it's been a long time, but obviously they're playing extremely well. So looking forward to seeing those two guys in particular, but even some of the guys that are not, as highly ranked, a guy like Hayden Tuminia at Milton. I think I saw his post. He usually tags me on his post. He had like 20 tackles in that Lee County game. Mm. And, he's one of those guys that make that kid an offer guy, who's just had an outstanding career. And last year had one of the career defining hits of the entire state finals when he had that big quarterback sack on Jeremy Hicklinski. So, guys like that too. It's not just about, the top 10 recruits or the top 20 recruits, and we'll have plenty of those great players playing in those games, but it's also some of us, the guys that aren't being recruited, they've had great careers and they're tremendous contributors to their programs. But Tyler Atkinson's another guy from Grayson. I mean, this guy is a tackling machine, maybe the best defensive player in the entire state, a junior there at Grayson, rated as high. I think some people got him as high as the number one linebacker in 2026. He'll be fun to watch, too.
Speaking of make that kid an offer, it's always a group effort, but Matt, you were the one that really pushed this idea through. Who is your make that kid an offer nominees for the championships?
Oh, I mean, there'll be more. but Hayden Tuminia is one of those guys. And, when I start delving into the 2 and 3A, we're still in the very early stages of gathering all the information to get prepared for those teams. But I'm sure there's going to be a lot of players. Typically, there are in the lower classifications because those guys, a lot of times those guys are not being recruited as much. Now, we say that, and we just had, on our National Signing Day show, we had Josh Petty and Elijah Griffin on from two of the smaller, programs in the state, Fellowship Christian, who got eliminated in the semifinals, and Savannah Christian, who got beat in the quarterfinals, and Justice Terry, his Manchester team just got beat, and we talked about him extensively. So, I mean, there are great 5-star players in these lower classifications. And I think that was one of the things that was really kind of unique about this year's recruiting cycle in the state of Georgia, which was extraordinarily deep. And if you look and see what Georgia and who they signed, and Kirby Smart went as heavy in Georgia as he's ever done. And that, I think that was a testimony to just how deep the talent level was in the state of Georgia.
Well, and at the same time, you mentioned how deep the talent level is. We've got a great representation of the state in and of itself from the folks that have survived all the brackets. You've got Waynesboro, you've got Columbus, you've got Jefferson, you've got Calhoun, obviously the metro Atlanta area. You've got North Oconee, which I think technically is Watkinsville. You've got PAC, which is in Bogart, Hebron Christian.
A lot of small towns.
Yeah, I mean, you got Macon represented with Northeast. You've got Lyons with Toombs County, Bowdoin and Northwest Georgia, and Quitman with Brooks. So, I mean, it's a great representation of the state here that we have coming up at Mercedes-Benz.
I say the thing that jumps off the page at me, and I was just having lunch with a couple of my buddies. Of course, we were talking college football. We were talking high school football. We were talking all that. We weren't talking NFL. We don't care about that. But we were talking about college and NFL. We were talking about college and high school football. And, the thing that jumps off the page at me, at least with my schedule this year, doing 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6A state championship games, there are no South Georgia teams.
Mm-hmm.
There are no South Georgia teams in any of my games. And that's a direct contrast to last year when I had Thomas County Central, when I had Coffey, when I had Perry. I count them as, well, they're more South Georgia. They're really middle Georgia, but they're more South Georgia than Atlanta.
Yep.
We had Swainsboro. You know, we had South Georgia teams. We don't have that, at least not in the games I'm calling this year. So that kind of jumps off the page at me, which is a little bit different, which is a little bit unusual, and I'm sure just an aberration. I don't think there's any great extrapolation you can draw from that information other than it's just that's just the way it's worked out this year. But I will say this. You know, you mentioned Calhoun and Carrollton. I don't count those as it. I mean, I know as far as the census is concerned, those are Atlanta area teams. I don't call those Atlanta area teams.
No, we're looking forward to it. So
anytime you go to a place like Carrollton and Calhoun and
it's like a 2.5-hour drive,
those places, it's nothing like Metro Atlanta. That's all I will say. In the high school football definition, it's not Atlanta to me.
No doubt about it. Man, as always, it's going to be great to be a part of the cast of thousands that's going to be the GPB Army, as you call it, going to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And all of the preparation is this week because we don't leave Mercedes-Benz for 4 days, basically, set up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, a week from now. So it's always going to be fun to get the championships, the biggest event of the year. Yeah.
So here's the rundown.
One last thing I'll say is I love the fact that we do have this week. Yes. I love the fact everybody, all the teams, we get to be more prepared than having a short time period to get crunched in for a lot of games. We've got a chance to get out there and do what we typically do every week for a game. Maybe not. I mean, when you're talking about five games, it's maybe not quite as much. But the fact that we've hit some of these teams will make it a little bit easier. But yeah, we have a greater chance to be able to be totally prepared and be able to tell the story of these programs and what they've been able to do this year. And also from the team standpoint, which is certainly much more important than our personal selfish standpoint, is they get a chance to rest and be healed and be as totally healthy as possible going into these games.
I agree. I'm loving this week off. I got a lot to do. There's a lot of things.
You got a week off?
Well, I meant like without a game. I need all the time I can get with being a mom. So here is the rundown. Monday, December 16th, it will be Single A Division 2 and 4A. Tuesday, December 17th, Single A Division 1, AA, 5A. And finally, Wednesday, December 18th, Private 3A, 6A. Flag football is in the quarters right now. Semis will be in this week. And flag football will play each day at noon or 2 or 11 a.m. They're before all the boys' games. That schedule will be on gbbsports.com. Follow us on social media at gbbsports as Matt and Wayne and John and Nikki and me and Wiley.
Yeah. Then Dave Reynolds.
And Dave Reynolds.
And Larry Smith and
Larry
Sam Crenshaw.
And Sam.
Yeah, so it's going to be the cast
Am
of thousands.
Am I missing anybody?
Nikki Nota Palmer and Autumn Johnson.
Autumn's back this year.
I think you broke some news to Hannah.
Yeah, no, I didn't know Autumn was coming back this year. That's amazing.
That's very cool.
So it's going to be an awesome crew and an amazing 3 days, and we can't wait. Matt, thanks for joining us. Thanks, everyone, from behind the glass.
Hey, Hannah.
Yeah?
I have one question before we let Matt go.
Uh-oh.
And I'm just curious, since the championships are there at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, how much of the facilities do the kids get to use?
Oh.
Do we know?
I mean, they get the locker rooms, don't they? Yeah. Or they have like...
Yeah, they get the locker rooms, yeah. I mean, they get the whole thing, man. It's a great opportunity for them. I guarantee you, if you were to ask every player on the roster of all 8 football teams and the 4 flag football, all 16 football teams and all 8 flag football teams that will be playing there, I think you would have 100% would say, I'm glad I'm playing it in Mercedes-Benz State. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's just such an extraordinary experience. It's a lifetime experience for these guys. I mean, you look at what we just saw 2 days ago, Georgia and Texas were playing for the SEC championship in that building. National championships get played in that building. Super Bowls get played in that building. And for you as a high school player, most of which are not going to play football beyond their high school careers. Most of them, we focus a lot on the college because there's a lot of interest in that. But most of them will never play beyond their high school careers. For them to have the opportunity to play in that facility where the greatest, you know, football in the world is played, it is such an extraordinary experience for them. I know I would have loved it.
No doubt about it. And so with that, Matt gets the final word about what this upcoming element is for the high school football season. For everybody behind the glass, in front of the glass here at GPB, we got championships next week, 2 weeks. We'll do the All-Stars once again to put a bow on the 2024 season. So for everybody here, to everybody there, thanks for dropping by. GPB Sports and the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. Play it safe, everybody. Enjoy the week off, and we'll see you at Mercedes-Benz.
Brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.